Listener, today's episode is one from the Black Label Archives. I've released two Black Label episodes to the free feed as a preview for what you're missing out on the Patreon. These two have been two of the Tamer episodes. To get access to a large back catalog of Black Label, go to patreon.com/obscuracrimepodcast. Again, to get access to a large back catalog of Black Label, go to patreon.com/obscuracrimepodcast. July 27th, 2011. Early morning, around 4 a.m. Bakersfield, California. Sheila Coriel wakes and finds that her stepdaughter, age 8, is not in her room. The covers on her bed are not messy like they should be. It's like Sheila's stepdaughter never slept in the bed at all. The cold shock of fear at that moment must have been intense. Not knowing where your child is for a moment is a paralyzing fear. Having it set in must have been indescribable. Panicked, she calls 911.
911, what's the location of your emergency?
Bakersfield, California.
Okay, and do you need police or an ambulance?
I need the police, please.
Okay, what happened?
My daughter's missing.
Your daughter's missing?
She wasn't in her bed.
How old is she?
She's 8.
She's what?
She's going to be 8 tomorrow. It's her birthday. Okay.
I know you're upset, but I need you to take a deep breath so I can understand you. You said she's 8?
Okay. So she's going to be 8 years old tomorrow. Her birthday's tomorrow. She's
okay,
going to
so
be 8.
July 28th?
Yes, ma'am. She'll be 8.
What year was she born?
2011. She's going to be 8, so 2004.
Okay. What color shirt and pants was she wearing?
Last night when she went to bed, she was wearing a pair of hot pink cheetah print pants, and she had on a little white pink shirt with a kitty on it.
Okay. Is she white, black, or Hispanic?
Huh?
Is she white, black, or Hispanic?
She's white. Well, she looks Hispanic, but she's white.
Okay.
She's got darker skin, brown eyes.
What's your name, ma'am?
My name's Sheila, and her stepmother. I just called her father. Freaking out right now. She lives with us.
Okay, Sheila, what's your last name?
My name's Coriel, too.
Okay. And you last saw her when she went to bed?
Well, I gave her a hug and a kiss last night.
Okay, what time did she go to bed?
She didn't go to bed until about 9:30 last night.
Okay. Have you yelled out for her in the house?
Yes, I've been screaming for her the last 5 minutes.
Okay, I still can't understand you. What was that?
I've been screaming for her. I just, about 2 nights ago, we had an incident where my husband came home and he smelled smoke. He came in the room and there was a straightener. My straightener for my hair was on her dresser. And a towel wrapped in it. And it was smoking. And the window was open. And me and my husband freaked out because we didn't know what was going on. I thought my daughter maybe got up and got the straightener, you know, playing with it or something, and didn't realize that it could do that. So we didn't really report it. So we were just like, oh, you know, maybe that's what happened. She was scared to tell us.
Okay. Where's your husband right now?
He's on his way back from work.
This isn't entirely true. Her husband hadn't been seen at work for 3 days. Something I'll remind you of later.
And I know her mother's threatened me and her to take her from us.
Okay, are any of the windows or doors open right now?
I don't see anything. And that's the thing, I bought alarms. So she couldn't leave.
Okay, and the alarm is armed right now?
No, they weren't alarmed. I would have heard them.
Okay, are there any other kids in the house?
There's four other children in the house. They're all here.
They're all there?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you yelled for her outside?
I did not. I just don't feel like she'd go outside by herself. She's super scared of dark at night.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, the last two nights because of what happened, I made her sleep in my room with me. And she's not in here with me. I got up. My husband just left for work. I got up to see, check the house. I always get up. I check the house, make sure all the doors are locked, windows are locked still, and I check on my children. I went in here in her room, and I noticed that her bed was kind of, you know, like her blanket wasn't as usually as poofy as it usually was. There was a dog in here. She's got like a full, you know, the big stuffed dog.
Does she know what the password is to the alarm?
There's no password.
But is there a code where she could disarm?
Okay. No, it's not a house alarm. It's just when the door, you know, the window or doors where the magnet gets pulled away, it goes off real loud.
Okay.
So, I don't know where she'd be. And I checked the bathroom. I looked everywhere for her.
Okay, how do you turn the alarm off and on? Is it always on and it just covers the windows?
No, you just turn it by a switch. All you have to do is turn on the switch up, and it sounds the alarm if the door is opened or anything. It's kind of like a door chime.
Okay, and it's still on? It wasn't turned off?
When my husband left, he turns it off when he leaves.
He turns it off when he leaves?
Yeah, so when he goes out the door that the kids, you don't wake the kids up, and that's when I usually get up and I turn it back on.
So you turned it on as soon as he left?
Yes, ma'am. I got up, I turned it on, like I said. I checked the windows to make sure all the windows were locked. And I came in here, like I usually do, and because of the incident the other night, I turned the light on to check for my daughter, and I pulled the blanket back to see if she was all cuddled in her blankets because I couldn't see her head. And it was her dog. Her stuffed dog, and she's gone.
Her stuffed dog is gone, too?
No, it's just her, but her dog was there. Both her blankets are here.
Okay, is anything missing?
No, not that I can see.
Okay.
Yeah, her clothes are here. I don't see anything missing, nothing. Her clothes, even her little coin purse, everything's here, her glasses.
Okay, so if someone were to go to her bedroom window and open it, the alarm would have sounded?
Yes, ma'am. Or like she knew. And I know she came home and she said she was scared after she seen her mom. I asked her, baby, what's wrong? She said, my mommy told me she's going to take me away.
According to Sheila, the girl was taken from her biological mother, Veronica Coriel, due to a drug addiction issues and all the baggage that comes with them. Veronica knew her now ex-husband since she was 10 years old. They married in 1999, divorced within 5 years. During this period, Veronica saw her children around once a month.
Okay. When did that happen?
Oh, man. It's been happening for the last... She's going into third grade, and she was in kindergarten when we took her away from her mother. We had to take her away from her mom because they were sending her to school dirty, and when she peed her pants, I guess they didn't change her. Her mom's a drug addict. I know for sure she's admitted to me and Ray, me and my husband.
There is a bitter, dark irony in Sheila calling her stepdaughter's bio mother a menace. But I won't jump ahead too far.
And she told us that she was on drugs, but I think she mentioned the word heroin. So me and Ray had took her away from her mom.
Okay, is there any other way somebody could have gotten in the house?
There's two windows in the room, but both of them look locked.
Okay.
There's a back door, but I don't see her going back there. We got some big dogs.
Okay, have you been in...
Okay. I just don't want to go outside because...
Ma'am, Do you know the mother's address?
I don't know. She was homeless last time we knew.
You can find the
last address. That's another reason she was... The last address, my mother-in-law just went to it. I'm not too sure. It's down the street.
Okay, what's her name?
Her name...
Okay. How old is she?
Yeah, Veronica, I want to say she's 27 now. And she's got a... he's her fiancé. His name's Mike. Mike, do you know Mike's last name, Viv? No, oh my God, my mother-in-law knows his last name.
Is your husband there now?
No, he's not. He should be pulling up any minute now.
Okay.
He was almost all the way to work when I got it. By the time I checked, and I got up and used the restroom, and like I said, I go through the house every day. And I just got up this morning and wanted to make sure she was in there because of what happened the other night.
Have you been through every single room in your house?
Yes, I have. I've looked for her everywhere. I've looked in my bed. I thought maybe she crawled in my bed with me. She's not in there. I even woke up my 11-year-old son because I thought maybe she got scared and got in bed with him. It's her older brother. They have the same mom.
Okay.
And I know that his mom wouldn't take him because him and his mom don't get along.
Okay.
But that little girl, she's told that little girl, I don't know, numerous times that they were going to take her from us. And she told me she was scared. And I told her, oh, mommy would never take you. She's just saying things because she's upset. You know, I thought maybe she was just upset that we had took her from her and told her that she couldn't see her because of the drugs.
Okay. When was the last time the mother did see her?
Last time the mom seen you guys, my son's 8 weeks old. They seen her. She didn't even get to see him, actually. She came over 3 days after my baby was born, which was July 1st. It was about that weekend, so around July 6th, I want to say.
Okay.
She came over, and she didn't call us or anything. She just showed up, and she wanted to take the kids with her. And she wanted just to take her daughter. Huh?
So it was about 7 weeks ago?
Yeah, it was about 7 weeks ago, but she told her, she came over, I distinctly remember because of the fact that she wanted our kids, but she just wanted our daughter at first. And I looked at my husband, I shook my head no, because I had a funny feeling. And he said, no, either you're going to take both of the kids and spend time with your son too, or you're not going to see them. And she's all, well, I'll take them both, I guess. And she was like real reluctant on to take my other one with her. And then my husband said, no, never mind, I don't want them going. Well, I had asked him before, after she left, why didn't you let the kids go? He said he just didn't want them going, that she seemed like she was acting odd, like she was on drugs again.
Okay. What's your husband's name?
Ray, R-A-Y.
And the same last name?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and what kind of vehicle is he going to be driving?
He's going to be driving a 2010, I do believe it is. It's a dark gray silver Chevy 4x4.
Okay, he
should be home any minute by now. I mean, my mother-in-law just took off. She's driving a Mitsubishi Flight Endeavor. She went to go see if she could find my daughter at her grandma's house, which is down the street.
Okay.
Which is the last known address for Veronica, too.
What was that address?
I'm not sure what the address is. It's on Brandage here. I've only been there. Yeah, I've only been here. I've been there a handful of times.
And your mother's on her way over to that address?
My mother-in-law is going over there to see if she could see us there. Because that's the only place I could think that they would take her because they're homeless. The last time I knew, they had bought an RV, the one that you can drive. They bought one of those, and they told us they didn't have money to be putting it in.
Okay. Sheila, the deputies just arrived there. Can you go outside and talk to them?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Between 5 and 6 hours after the 911 call, the 8-year-old little girl walked up to a man tending his garden. She was covered in dirt. She woke in great pain that morning, pressed down beneath a couch. The 8-year-old was bloodied, battered, and bruised. She had to lift the couch that had been thrown on her off her person to stand. She was hungry and thirsty, and in great pain. A doctor would find that the child had been sexually assaulted with injuries so bad that they required surgery. The man who committed such a horrible act? Ray Salvador Coriel, her father. He was, at the time, 29 years old. He hadn't shown up to work in days. The girl's brother told police that she had told him that she felt like something bad was going to happen to her days before the kidnapping and sexual assault. It makes me wonder if she felt something was off about her father. The day after realizing the police were on to him, Ray armed himself and fled. He and his wife Sheila exchanged texts at the time that made it clear he was considering killing himself. Some may be saddened to hear that he didn't do so. No. Ray cared about himself more than anything, and he holed himself off in a house. There was a 7-hour police standoff before he was finally arrested. The children, including the girl who this episode is based on, were placed in protective custody. I hope wherever she is that she has found a family that loves her. One that has her best interest in mind. One that loves her. Ray was allegedly sexually abused as a child. He claims he was assaulted by his cousin. This doesn't forgive anything he did. Ray Coriel, at age 33, took a plea deal. 34 years to life in which he'll have to serve at minimum 85% of the sentence. I'll be honest with you. At age 33, potentially serving under 30 years doesn't seem like enough. He sexually abused a child to the point that she required surgery. At a spry 53 years old, there's no telling what he'll be capable of. I can only hope he doesn't make it that long. Ray, I'm sure I can speak for my audience when I say, I wish you a terrible prison stay. Do us all a favor and don't make it out. Clarksville, Indiana, March 1st, 2013. On a Friday night, Richard Hooten, age 49, first laid eyes on 17-year-old Tara Willenborg. Richard had already spent much of his life in and out of prison. Actually, half. A sex offender. A rapist. Of how many? Who knows? But at least one conviction. A man who had committed brutal assaults, one using a knife, and even a prison escape. In fact, Richard Hooten is out on bond due to a possible connection to a felony gun charge. But we're not done yet. Richard has been suspected of several murders, though never caught. Yet, here he walked. And here he saw his next victim. It makes you wonder who your neighbor is. Richard Hooten casually spoke with Tara, she being relatively at ease not knowing his past. I imagine Richard was feeling that old itch from days past. For sex offenders, it never goes away despite what they might tell you. But Richard managed to hold off for the night. And Tara went back to her apartment without suspicion. Police at the time considered Richard Hooten to be a ticking time bomb, but nothing was done. The people that lived around him didn't know that he was a violent rapist and potential killer. Richard had 2 convictions in Clark County alone in which plea bargains were reached, and little was done to keep him off the streets. So, listener, we find ourselves at the intersection between Richard Hooten and his next victim. And, despite what you read, know that nothing really was done to stop what was coming. His last 3 charges didn't take into account his habitual offender status. Richard and his lawyer managed to postpone an awaiting trial for 15 more months. It seemed that Richard Hooten possessed a golden ticket. So, Richard wandered back and forth from Louisville to Indiana, committing crimes, assaults, using fake names, and mostly ignoring the terms of his probation. Why not? The consequences rarely stuck. Richard himself was the spawn of a killer. A man who raped and murdered. Yes, his father was cut from the same cloth. He was convicted for a murder and sexual assault in the state of Arkansas. Like Richard, Daddy Hooten found himself in and out of prison and eventually died serving a sentence back in 1988. Richard's father was labeled as mentally incapable of stopping his sexual assaults and physical violence, something I believe Richard Hooten himself inherited. By the age of 21, Richard attempted to murder his friend over a small dispute, repeatedly stabbing him. He was sentenced to 10 years, and by 1987, Richards hopped the fence of the prison and escaped. The state slapped him with another 2 years, but by the time 1990 rolled around, Richard found himself a free man. He barely served any of his sentences. Within 2 years, Richard Hooten forced his next-door neighbor into her home and proceeded to rape her. The act was so violent that, despite the area being rural, the neighbors could hear the screams from miles away. He was sentenced to 15 years in prison and eventually released early from prison. This is just a snapshot of the life and crimes of Richard Hooten. Now, I'm going to play for you the 911 call made on March 2nd, 2013.
911, what's the address for your emergency?
My girlfriend is raped and I think she's dead. I need someone here now.
Okay, is she breathing?
No, she ain't. There's vomit. She's been beat. There was something tied around her neck. I just cut it off. She's dead. I've been doing CPR for the past 20 minutes. She ain't coming back.
What's your address?
I'm at... Yes, it's called Cambridge Square, the apartment complex. Someone said they already called the ambulance, but I'm just making sure.
Who called the ambulance?
My neighbors.
Okay, we don't have a call on it. You said you've been doing CPR?
Yeah.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventure, and the challenges she overcame. The book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Personally, I love My Life in a Book. I tried it with my mom, and I've heard stories I'd never heard before because, you know, they just never came up naturally in conversation. It's easy to use, and my favorite part is it's given me more of an excuse to talk to my mom more. You know, it's not always easy to come up with those on your own. Listener, check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code Obscura at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code Obscura for 10% off today.
Get someone down here right now before I kill them.
They're on their way, okay?
Because I think my neighbor did it.
I've got the other dispatcher dispatching them at this time. Do you want to continue to try to do CPR?
Yes. Tell me what I need to do.
Okay. All right. Okay. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. You're going to take your hands and you're going to place them...
She's
on the floor, right?
Yes.
Okay. You're going to put your hand in the center of her chest right between the nipples.
All right.
Okay?
Yes.
Push down hard and fast, 2 inches in depth. Okay? And you're going to try to pump twice every second. It's going to be about 100 compressions a minute. It's going to be very quickly paced, okay?
Say that again.
It's going to be very quickly paced. You're going to want to do about 100 compressions per minute, okay?
Okay, do it 100 times.
I'm sorry?
Do it 100 times? Like, put down her chest 100 times? Is that what you're saying?
Keep doing that. I'll do 30 of them, okay?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15,
16. Okay, when you do 30, you're going to need to tilt her head back and give her 2 breaths. Okay, then do 30 more compressions.
It sounds like air's coming out, but I think it's... Keep doing it.
Keep doing it. 30 more compressions. Give her 2 more breaths. And then go back to 30 more compressions.
Come on, babe.
Go back. 30 more compressions.
I can't believe it. Vomit. I can tell she vomited. She bruised all around her neck. His lips can't get colored. I don't feel a pulse.
Okay, you're doing compression.
Oh, God, please.
I'm going to use a 30. Give her two breaths again.
From you. Sorry. That's okay. Are you still doing the compression?
Yes. Okay. Come here. My girlfriend's been breaking. Sir, are
you still doing the CPR? Yes, I'm doing CPR.
Okay. Who's there with you?
My neighbor.
Okay.
Come on, baby. Don't die.
You're doing just right, okay?
Oh, no, but I can kill him if I find him.
Giving her the two breaths?
Yes.
Okay. There you go.
Come on, baby. Just take the phone and talk to this lady.
Help her, man.
Hello?
Do you know about how old she is?
She's 17, I think.
She's 17?
Yeah, she's 17, ain't she?
Yes.
Keep on going.
Okay, yeah, tell him to keep going. Don't stop. I have everybody in route.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. He's doing it.
Okay, he's doing it just right.
Yeah, he's trying to bring her back.
Okay, as long as he keeps doing what he was doing a second ago, he's doing just right.
Yeah.
And he found her like this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who? What'd you say? Bring her back, bro.
I'm sorry, what was that?
He's trying to bring her back. I wonder who the f*** did this shit, man.
What's her name?
What's her name, bro? What's her name? Huh? What's her name? Who?
Get him the phone.
I am. Hello?
Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, is he still doing the CPR?
Yeah, he's still doing it.
Okay. Do you you all have the door unlocked so that the crews can come inside?
Yeah, they're on the way up right now.
Okay, they should be there.
All right. Yeah, she's here. Stay here. Hello?
Hello, I'm still here.
Okay, the ambulance is here.
They're inside the apartment?
Yeah.
I was just taking off the work early. Is that who I hear talking in the background?
Yeah, bring her back, bro. Cigarette. Damn, my cigarette. That's my dude, man. I'm just trying to get my dude, my girlfriend, his girlfriend done dad and stuff, man. Hey, you still on the phone?
Yes, sir, I am.
Uh-huh. All right.
Are you still there? Really?
As I'm sure you're aware of from that harrowing 911 call, Tara didn't make it. Her family and boyfriend left to deal with the echoes of this horrific crime for the rest of their lives. An online obituary for the 17-year-old reads, Tara Rose Willenborg, age 17, died Saturday, March 2nd, 2013 at her home. She was born in Jeffersonville, attended Jeffersonville High School, was an employee of Subway, and a member of St. Luke's United Church of Christ. She loved animals and her friends. Survivors include her parents, Todd Willenborg and Kelly Curran of Jeffersonville, two brothers, Todd Willenborg Jr. and Derek Willenborg, both of Jeffersonville, a sister, Colleen Willenborg of Jeffersonville, her grandfather, Neil Curran of Clarksville, her grandmother, Vicki Mangum of Kentucky, her fiancé, Josh Lewis of Clarksville, her aunt, Terry Vaughn of New Albany, numerous cousins including Ashley Simmons, Avon, Justin, and Ethan Stenger, and Chris Willenborg, and her best friend Jessica Mosqueda. Expressions of sympathy can be sent in the form of contributions to the Jeffersonville Animal Protection Association. In an unorthodox move, after his arrest, Richard Hooten gave a live confession and interview to the media. I'm going to play an edited down for you version of this. It's a must listen.
I just lost it, you know. I left Rojo's with my friends and then my girlfriend. I came back, she was sitting on the steps, you know, and I went back in my apartment. I come back out, she was still sitting out there. And I asked her to want to hang out, so we went in her room. Started hanging out and everything.
When did you know? When did you decide that you were going to attack her? Did you plan it?
I didn't really plan it, you know. Didn't really plan it or nothing like that because I went into her apartment and then, you know, she was a pretty girl, you know. But I didn't know she was 17. I thought she was like 19 or 20, you know.
Would that have made any difference?
Not really. Maybe a little bit because she's, you know, a minor, you know, 17 years old to me is a minor, you know.
But you're a rapist, you've admitted.
I mean, I know that. I never raped nobody younger than me. It's always older.
She was crying and telling you not to do this. Why did you continue to do that?
I just lost it in my head. I just lost control.
Were you under the influence? Were you drinking on any drugs?
I went on no drugs. I mean, I was drinking earlier, you know, at the house.
Had she been drinking or was she under any influence?
I don't know. I don't know if she was drinking or not.
Seems you said this is far from the first time this has happened. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
How many times has this happened?
I got accused for rape about three or four times.
You've been to prison for rape three or four times?
Yes.
How many rapes have there been that you haven't been to prison for?
None.
Why do you rape women?
I don't know.
Can you help yourself?
In the affidavit. Police released yesterday and said that that you knew you were going to rape her. Is that not true, or that you told police that you knew ahead of time that this was going to occur?
I didn't tell her.
Did you get a feeling of any sort before coming into her house?
I mean, she was a pretty girl, you know. I did want to have sex with her.
Okay. How do you feel about murdering Tara?
Pretty bad. I wish I could take it back.
How did that happen? How did it go from just, you've obviously raped women before. Mm-hmm. Why did it increase to murder?
I was just having sex with her and anxiety on me, I guess. You know, when I had my hands around her throat and I just kept going and going, you know. I didn't know how strong I was really putting pressure on her, you know. I was choking her.
Why did you keep going when she was crying and telling you no? And clearly in a lot of
breathing.
I just blocked it out, you know. I went thinking about it until after it was too late.
And then when you saw that she was no longer breathing, take us through what you did next. It looks like you tried to cover it up.
Well, what I did, I took her off the bed and tried to give her CPR and mouth-to-mouth, trying to revive her. And I did that for like 10 to 15 minutes trying to get her back, and I couldn't. And I just acted like, you know, she did it herself, so I tied up one of her aprons or whatever around her neck, and then I left.
Why didn't you call police or ambulance at that time?
Cause I was scared because I already did, you know, did that crime.
Mr. Hooten, people who are charged with murder and rape usually don't speak out and tell us details about what they did. Why are you doing this?
I'm just trying to, you know, give y'all closure of what happened, you know, and everything, and help our family.
Richard Hooten was sentenced to life without parole plus 70 years. Tara's family didn't want to drag things out for years to achieve the death penalty. Her father had this to say, "He's not a human. He's not an animal. He's far below. Calling him by his name is difficult. Calling him by anything but an it feels nothing but right. This is not about him. This is about my beautiful daughter, Tara Rose Willenborg, who did nothing to deserve this. I love Tara, and we had a good relationship. I was her daddy. I was her protector. But that's all gone now." Listener, if you enjoyed what you heard, consider subbing to our Patreon. To get access to a large back catalog of Black Label, go to patreon.com/obscuracrimepodcast. Again, to get access to a large back catalog of Black Label, go to patreon.com/obscuracrimepodcast.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.